Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Pei Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Shloisha Zeisim Hein. We know that for the Menachos and for the Menorah, we need to have oil available in the Beis HaMikdash. It teaches us the Mishnah, Shloisha Zeisim Hein. There are three ways that oil are prepared. Behen. And in each one of those three ways, shlosha shlosha shemanim, there are three grades, there are three different types of oil that are taken out. So the posh pshat, as Rashi suggests, is that the oil from these different, olives, the olives do not ripen at one time. And since the olives do not ripen at one time, the oil does not all get processed at the same time. Tosfos has a question on this pshat, because he asks, if that's the case, why would olives be chayiv and peya? He says that the Mishnah Masechta Peya says that kol dovish ein likitosik echad, anything that doesn't all get ripe at the same time, ein chayiv peya, is not obligated in taking peya. So if that's the case, why does the Gemara say that, for example, that's why the halacha is that figs are not chayiv and peya, because they don't get ripe at the same time? So if our Mishnah is saying that so too is the case by olives, why would there be a chayiv of peya? So there are different answers offered by the Rishonim to this question. Some say that it's not that they're not, that our Mishnah means that not all the olives are ripened at the same time. They all are ripened at the same time. But in ripe, there are different degrees of ripeness. And what the Mishnah means to say is, depending, as was learned, where this olive finds itself, that's how we're going to know how, that's how it's going to be determined what kind of olive oil will come out from it, and what kind of olive oil will come out for it, and what should it be used. Another pshat is that when we speak about figs, they're collected off the tree a little at a time. But the olives, even though they're all not ripe at the same time, it's not that you take a little off every day, like apparently they did by the figs. By the olives, there are these three times that the olives get ready, but it's a very large gathering in every time. Another pshat is that the Sfasema suggests that by olives, they don't ripen at the same time, but there are definite times for each one of these periods of ripenings. Whereas when we speak about figs, there's no set time for ripening. We just pick them whenever we see them. So says the Mishnah Zayis Sarishin, the first time the olive is picked from the tree, Megagga Barosh Zayis, we take the olives that are at the top of the tree, because since they're closest to the sun, they ripen faster. Another pshat is that we wait until the ones on the top of the tree become ripe. And then after we wait for that, that's when we pick him. So there's, as again, Rashi says two pshatim. One pshat is that they get ripe first. And the other pshat is that those olives get that ripe that quickly. We do not have to do anything to make them ripe. They're ripe immediately because they're right on top of the tree. Then v'noisin l'teches v'kaitish, we crush them v'noisin l'teches sal, and we put them into a basket. Rabbi Yudaimer, they didn't put the olives in the bottom of the basket. He says they put the olives svivos oil. They put around the basket, and that's how the olive oil comes out and falls into the basket. The reason Rabbi Yehuda does not want to put the olives on the bottom of the basket, because when they get crushed at the bottom of the basket, and all that oil is coming out from all those olives, they're going to get mingled together with their sediment, and that's going to be hard to get out. So therefore, they put the olives on the sides of the basket, and they don't go, and the olive oil just goes out, and it doesn't get mixed into the sides of the baskets. There's a question: does the olive oil go out? I saw Machlokes Rishonim. Does the olive oil go out from the side of the basket, or does the olive oil go out from the bottom of the basket? Continues the Mishnah, Ze Rishon. That's the first type of. That's the first oil that comes out. Then, the time Bekaira. Then we take a beam and put the beam on top of the olives. Rabbi Huda says we don't use a beam because the beam is too heavy. And again, Rabbi Huda is concerned if we're going to use such a heavy beam, the olive oil is going to get mixed together. The olive oil is going to get mixed together with the sediment. So therefore, he says the way we should crush them is with avonim, with stones, which are not as heavy as the beam. Sheni, ze sheni, that's the second oil that comes out of the olives. Chazer v'ton, and then we grind those olives, v'ton, and we then put a beam or stones on top of them. Ze shlishi, that's the third category of olive oil. Says the Mishnah Rishon, the first oil that we just described, is the olive oil that's used for the menorah, the shar, and the second one is lemenachis, as used for the menachis. Hasheni, the second time, says the Mishnah, that we take olives off the tree. Megagaroi, again, we take off the olives that are in the middle of the tree, towards the top, the Rosh Hagag, in the middle, closer to the top of the tree. For Kaitish, and we squeeze them. The nice not techasal, we put them on the bottom of the basket. Rabbi Yehuda Misfivas Asal, we put them on the side of the basket. Again, as we mentioned a few moments ago, Zer Rishon, that is the first type of olive oil that comes out. The time Bekairin, then we put a beam on top of them. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a beam, it's avonim stones. Zer, that's the second category. Zer Sheni. And chazen v'tochen, then we grind them v'ton, and we put a beam or a stone on top of them. And zeh shlishi, harishin, the first olive oil that came out from these olives that are in the middle of the tree is lemenorah, can be used for the menorah. It's these olives are in the category of kusis, and as we're going to be learning, the Torah requires that for menorah we use kusis, and this is considered kusis, and but the shar, the rest, which is not kosher for the menorah, kosher for the menachas. Shlishi, that the next time we take olives, which are the remaining olives on the tree, oitnoi, we put them in the beis abad, we put them into a vat, at shilka, until they come somewhat fermented, maleu umenagve barashagag, then we would take them up to the top of the roof, so they should dry out. Since they were together in this vat, there is different secretions coming out of the olives, so you don't want those secretions to get mixed into the olive oil. So you took it up to the roof, kaitish, and we crush the grapes, the nice lotechasal, and we put them into the basket. Again, Rabbi Huda was an opinion, says that we don't put them on the top, we don't put them on the bottom basket, we put it on the svivos hasal, around the basket. Zerishin, that's the first that comes out of the olive. Vatayin, then we take a kaira, a beam, Rabbi Huda ima avonim stones, Zer Sheni, that's going to be class 2. V'tochon, and we take it out, we grind it, zehu shlishi, and that's called the shlishi. Says again the Mishnah Harishon, what came out just by crushing them is kosher for the menorah, and hashar lemenachas, because as we're going to learn, the halach is kosher lemayer. For the menorah, we have to use what's kosher, but for the menachas, we don't use what's kosher. As long as it's shemen, as long as it's oil, it's qualified to be used for the menorah. Ibailahu. So ask the Gemara, when the Mishnah spoke about the first olives that are taken off the tree, the Mishnah said the words, Begagroi Barosh has eyes. So ask the Gemara, what is the proper wording of the Mishnah? Is it Megargaroi? That means that we don't have them all ripe at the same time. Since we don't have them all ripe at the same time, so Megargaroi, we only take what's ready, or Megalgaloi Tanan. Or the pshat is, we wait until all the olives are ready, and when they're all ready at the same time, that's when we take them down. So the question is, do we wait till they're all ripe, or do we take them down a little at a time? Toshma. So Gemara brings the Raya, the Tanya, the Brisa says, the Pasuk says regarding the Menorah, V'yichol lecha shemen zayin zoch, kosos l'mor l'halos n'atar. So we have to say that the oil has to be, that the olive is saturated with oil, and not that the olive should still need pressing to get out the oil. Mekan Amru, based on this, the Chazal teaches, Zayis Rishon, when we pick the olives off the tree, Megalgaloi Barosh Zayis, we let them sit on top of the, tree, and what happens is, in other words, the Rishonim say that we let them sit on the top of the tree, not do anything else until they're all ripe. But Galgal Barosh Zayis, Kainzer LeBeis Abad, take it into the olive press, the Tochna Berchayim, and we grind them, the Noistam Besalim, then we put them into the basket. Shemen Hayotzvim Menu, the oil that now comes out, Hayorishin, the first oil that comes out is called the Rishon. Ton Bekaira, then we put a beam on top of what's left. Hashem and Ayotzu Menu, the next batch of oil, Zeh Sheni, Chazul Parak, then we take the olives out from under the beam, V'tochen, and we grind them, V'tona and Ton, and after the grinding, we put the beam on top of them, Zeh Shlishi. Rishon, the one that came out first, should be used for the menorah. That's what's called Zach. The rest, the Shemna Shlishi, could be used for the menachas and not for the menorah. Continues the Brisa of Ken Sheni, and this happens with the Zayis Sheni, which, as we explained in the Mishnah, are olives which are not on the top of the tree, the Zayis Shlishi, and then we talk about the remaining olives. Oitnoi, we put them into a Beis Habad, into a vat, Achil Yilka, until they begin to get soft, ferment. Omala Rosh Agaga, we put them on top of the roof. Voices are coming tomorrow. And we make a pile out of it. Like we make a pile for the tomorrow, for the dates. And the Gemara often speaks about groigris, that we make dates of figs and we dry them. Achil Zuva Mayim, until it secretes, then Kainzer LeBeis Abad, then we all the secretion, the moil comes out. Kainzer LeBeis Abad, we take it into the Beis Abad, the Tochna Berchaim, and we grind it. The Noistam B'Salam, then we put it into baskets. The Shemen and Motzim Menu, Zer Rishon, the first oil that comes out is Rishon. Then Tom Bekaira, then we put them under a beam. Shemen Ayotzim Zer Sheni. Parak, we take off the beam, v'chaz v'tach v'tan, and then we again grind them and put them under the beam, and zeh shlishi. Harishon, what is used, comes out first, is kosher l'menorah, for lighting the menorah, the shar, and the rest of the oil is can be used for the menachas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo'ay tach b'rechayim, he says, grinding is not acceptable, because when you grind it, he holds, the sediment comes out as well. El kochim machteshes, we use a machteshes that doesn't grind up, doesn't grind it, it just crushes it. V'layatayin b'kayra, he also says they did not use a beam, again, because we're concerned about what's going to get mixed into the oil, the sediment. El avonim, we use stones. V'layinoisna b'salin, furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that it's not put into the baskets on the bottom. Elotach sviv sal, they're put on the size of the side. And as I saw, the Rishonim explain what is the basis of the machlokes of the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda. The dispute is over how to define the word zach. How pure must it be? But ask the Gemara, Hagufakasha. We have to understand, says the Gemara, this brisa. Kaitish, who's the man Dama that says that we only crush them? Mani Rabbi Yehuda. And yet, it says, B'teichasal, it says we crush it in the bottom. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan. So whose opinion are we following? The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda or the opinion of the Rabbanan? And says the Gemara, there's a new Tana here. High Tana Sovel Kasei B'chada. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in one way, that we only crush it, not grind it. But Palakla B'chada, that he holds, you could put it on the bottom of the basket, you need not put it on the side of the basket. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. Harishin Shebarishin. The first olive and the first category of that olive, Elam Alamenu. That's the best oil you could find. Ha Shani Shebarishin. The second oil that comes out, the second that type of oil that comes out from the best olive, Farishin Shebisheni, and the first class of the second type of olive, says the Gemara Shovin, says the Mishnah, are equal in their category. They're better than anything else. Hashlishi Shebarishin, the third class of the first type of olive, Vasheni Shebisheni, Farishin Shebishlishi, and the third type of olive, the first olive oil, they are all equivalent. Shoven, hashlish shebisheni, the third class of the second type of olive, vasheni shebishlishi, the second class of the third type of olive, and hashishi shoven are equivalent, and then hashlish shebishlishi, the third kind of olive, and the third class of that olive, ein lamate menu, that, says the Mishnah, is the poorest quality. Continues the Mishnah. We've been learning that the halacha requires that for the shem and zayis of the menorah, it must be a much better quality than the quality used for menachas. Afkal menachas, however, says the Mishnah, afkal menachas hayibedin, it would be appropriate shi'tana shem and zayis zach, that all types of oil, that the oil shemen zayis used for the menachas should be shemen zayis zach, because the Gemara says we should make the following argument: ma menorah, if the oil used for the menorah ain lachila, it's not used for eating purpose. Yet the Torah is very clear: tuuna shen zayis zach, it has to be the best quality menachas. That the oil that's going to be used for the menachas shen lachila, and over here, when we speak about achila, it means the achilas hamizbeach, explain the Tres Yisrael. Because if we're going to be speaking about the achila of the kahanim, we can't bring a raya from the lighting of the menorah to the eating of the mizbeach. The lighting of the menorah to the eating of the kahanim. The lighting of the menorah is for Hashem. And the eating of kahanim is not for Hashem. But if we say the lighting of the menorah is for Hashem, and the eating of menachas, which is put on the mizbeach, is also kaviyach for Hashem. So we should make an argument: if what we're lighting for Hashem has to be Shemen Zayazach. Certainly, then shouldn't that prove that we're bringing Kavi Yochel for the eating of the Mizbeach should have to be Zoch? Certainly, Shitano Zoch. Tamalim, but the Pasuk says, Kosus Lamanar. We have to use Shemen Kosus for the Menorah, the Ein Kosus Lamanachas, but that is not required for the Kavi Minchas. There are many Pshatim in this halacha. And one Pshat that I saw is that when somebody, the Gemara says, Masechta Yuma, Daf Ayin Bey, Zocha Nasle Sama Chayim, if somebody learns Torah properly, the Torah becomes for him a Sam Chayim. Loi Zocha Nasle Sama Mavis. What's Pshat? If somebody learns Torah properly, then, and his Torah is clear, then his Torah is able to influence many. Otherwise, it doesn't, loy zocha, then at least the sama mavis, it chases away the ra, chases away the yetzahara. So therefore, when it comes for the menorah, which represents Torah, and we want that our Torah should be able to influence others, it has to be shemen zay zoch. The menachas chase away averis. They're a kapara for averis. But they don't have that quality of influence, and therefore it doesn't have to be kosher. Another pshat that the Tveres Shmuel explains that what a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks from us is that for anova, for somebody to be humble or modest, kosher lamor, if somebody wants to have the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu shine on him. The light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that shines on him comes through the menorah, through Torah, and therefore it has to be absolutely pure. But there's another beautiful vart that I saw from the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes asks a question. We don't find, typically by mitzvahs, the concept of Mahadrin, only by Chanukah. And the question is, why specifically by Chanukah do we find this concept of Mahadrin? So he says that when we look at the Nes of Chanukah, they only found one pitcher of oil. And he suggests that one pitcher of oil they found was really the oil that we've been discussing so many times at HaMasechta, the Chavite Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol brought the carbon every day, the Chavite Kohen Gadol. And he says, but the Kohen Gadol, even though as we're learning now in our Gemara, the menachas don't have to be Shemen Zayizach. So therefore, if menachas need not be Shemen Zayizach, then that oil that was put away for the Chavite Kohen Gadol cannot be used for the menorah. But the Kohen was a Mahadr. What is meant when we say that the Kohen was a Mahadr? The Kohen was careful that he used Shemen Zayiz even for his menachas. And because the Kohen was careful only to use Shemen Zayis for his menachas, it was available now for the menorah. So the whole nes of Chanukah really happened only because the Kohen was a Mahadr. And therefore, it's most appropriate that we should use this concept of Mahadrin on Chanukah. Another pshat is Kosus Lamor. So I saw from the Beis Yisrael, if you are a person who is a kosus, if you are a person that is, kosus means to break yourself, if you're a person that works on yourself and you're a person that is not arrogant, then lamar, you are the individual who has the ability, lamar, to light up the world. A similar pshat that I saw is kosus lamar. Kosus means the person works hard. He goes to yeshiva to learn. He gets up early, stays up late to learn. If a person is a kosus, if a person is that type of person that he uses all of his strength and energy to give off Torah, then he will be able to kosus menor. The Shema Shmuel, quoting his father, the Imre Emes, says that when does somebody bring a carbon mincha? Or frankly, when does anybody bring any carbon? A person brings a carbon when he needs a kapara. When he needs a kapara, he's bringing oil that's not pure, because he himself is a person that isn't pure and needs a kapara. Whereas a person who's teaching Torah, a person who's living in the world of Torah, doesn't need that. Another pshat that I saw is that kosis limnor, if somebody will be able to break himself, kosis will break himself, he will become light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shine his light on him. Like kosis limnachis, but when a person is involved in panosah, that doesn't require that you give it the same level of strength and energy. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah identified the various grades of olive oil. And the Mishnah said that there are different grades that are equivalent. So the Mishnah said that the first oil of the second group is equivalent to the second oil of the first group. Ask the Gemara, Va'amrit, have we not learned that whenever we speak about the Rishon and the different grades, it could be used for the Menaira and Shalom Menachos. So how can we say they're equivalent? This can be used for the Menaira and this can't. Answers the Gemara, the focus of the Mishnah and where it identifies equivalency is not regarding quality of oil. It's not regarding what can be used for the Menaira. It's regarding the equivalency of oil, now what can be used for the Menaira. Of course, for the Menaira, only Rishon can be used. But we're talking about for the Mincha, and the Mishnah is teaching us that they're both equivalent. And it goes really a step further, a concept that we've been discussing so many times in our Masechta. We're supposed to use what's best for the Menaira, since for carbon. So it's important for us to identify what is equivalent, so we can know what's best. Continues the Gemara that the Mishnah made an argument. We could have made an argument that for Menachos we should also use the best. Tana Bonin, the Pasuk says regarding the Menaira, Shemen Zay Zach, Ain Zach, and the definition of Zach is a Noki. It has to be clear. Even though it doesn't make a difference how it came out. Yudai Mekosis and Kosis Elokotish, that it should be crushed, but it can't be ground. Continues the Braisa, Yochel Yehei Zoch Kosis, that only that could be used for Menaira, or Pasla Menachos, and it cannot be used for the Menachos, tells us the Pasuk, Visan Shailas Bala B'Shemen Kosis, that even though that it could be used for the menorahs, it could be used for menachos as well. In kemata malaim al aron. So why does it say lamar? In other words, the Gemara is suggesting that we could use shem, and we spoke about this a few moments ago, that we can use shem and zayzach for the menachos. So why does the Torah say lamar, that we should use only? We should use only the Shem and Zayizok for the Menorah, not for the Menachos. Says the Gemara, Bepnei Chisochen, because you want to save money. Ask the Gemara, what is the definition of Chisochen? Amar Elazar, HaTayra Chasam Amanish Yisrael. The Gemara introduces here that the Torah, even though we could use it for the Menachos, the Torah says we should not use it for the Menorah. We should not use it for Menachos if we don't have to. The reason we shouldn't use it for Menachos is because the Torah wants to save Jewish money. This is the concept that we've learned previous in our shiurim, and that is that Torah chasa of Amana Shal Yisrael, the Torah wants us to save money. So I saw, what's the Havamina? Asked the Mefarshim, that we should be able to use this oil. So I saw that the Imri Emes says that just like we see by the Ktiris, the Torah says that we should use Levina in the Torah, and Levina is something that doesn't have a pleasant smell. So we would think that that's the same that we should say when we speak about the Menachas, as we've been saying in our shir. Since the Menachas specifically come for, the Menachas specifically come for a kapara, so the way that can be properly represented is if it's not pure. Teaches us the Gemara that it's okay, we can use that type of oil for the mincha as well. So it's very interesting to point out, we've found this concept of Torah Chosam and Manisha Yisrael. We learned that when it comes to the Lechem Aponim, the loch is we don't have to use soilus, the highest grade flour. We could use lesser quality flour. We learned that the shofaris that they used in the Beis HaMikdash on the tainus that they used to gather the people, the mouth was coated by silver, not by gold. The boxes that they used to do the gyril on Yom Kippur were made out of wood, not out of silver or gold. The pan that the Kohen Gadol would enter the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur was not made out of gold, only silver. So we saw so many different places in Halacha, this concept of Torah Chosam and Manasseh Yisrael. Yet, in many places, as the Shas of Tshuvas, Tshuva Mehava, we find that there's a concept of Enanis B'makam Ashiris, that specifically in the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to use something that was of the highest quality. The Halacha tells us that if one of the Klisharis got disrepaired, we put it away, and we don't repair it, because Ein Anis B'makam Ashiris. So how do we reconcile these two concepts, Ein Anis B'makam Ashiris and a Torah Chosam Manasseh Yisrael? And the Shas of Tshuvas, Tshuva Mehava, says that he indeed cannot offer a rule. It's up to Chazal to determine in each situation what to do. He says that the Noida Behuda says a different pshat. He says the normal operating principle is actually a Torah Chosam and Manasseh Yisrael. He, however, says that if the Torah specifically tells us not to do that because of Ein Anis B'Makom Ashiris, then we follow the principle of Ein Anis B'Makom Ashiris. But his opinion is that under normal circumstances, HaTorah Chosam and Manasseh Yisrael is the principle that we follow. The Achronim ask another question. The Pasuk says, how do we know we learned, how do we know HaTorah Chosam and Manasseh Yisrael? So we learned it from when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nace with the stone giving the water. The Pasuk says, V'hishkisa es ha'edav es abiram, that they weren't only concerned about the people, but the animals which belonged to us, that they should have what to drink. But then, the Rishonim say, there's another source. The Pasuk says that when a Kohen comes to examine a house that has a nega, the Pasuk says, V'tziva ha'koyin v'kpinas abayis, he should first clear out the house, because if the Kohen is going to declare the house is tamei, then everything in the house is tamei, and as the Chazal teach us, it's not such a terrible concern, because you could always be matar, could always purify what's in the house. The problem is, kli cheres, you can't be matar them. The only way you can be matar them, shurasam zu tarasam. So the kli cheres, Chazal teaches, are normally the inexpensive clay, kalim. And even though they are inexpensive, the Torah was concerned not they should become tamei. So certainly, it's a proof that Torah Chosam Shemanim Yisrael. So the question is, the Achronim ask, why does the Torah have to give us two limudim? And which one is a better limud? So one pshat, I saw that the Tori Evan says, that not everybody agrees that the Kohen has to be Mefanas Abayis. And that's why the Rai of Eshkis, Edvus Birim, is much better. Another pshat is that Vishkeh's Edomus Biram is something that speaks about all of Klal Yisrael. The Finus Abayis is something that is not use the Finos Abayis is only for individual. And the Noida Behuda takes it a step further. Noida Behuda says, if we think about it, the Finos Abayis does not represent any nais. Whereas the Kohen is given practical advice. The practical advice is take everything out first. But when we talk about Vishkias Eidim Vespiram, we talk about a nais, that water came out of a stone. So we would think that we always know that we HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavi Yochel, always tries to make less nisim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to make less nisim, so therefore, certainly, the halacha should be, for the animals, there's no need to have a nais. Teaches us the halacha that HaTorah Chasa Amonim Shal Yisrael, that even to make a nais, because to save Jewish money, it's an important concept. It says the Gemara, the Pasuk speaks about the menorah. And the Tzar Sukzer Tzavis B'nai Yisrael Yikol Lecha Shem and Zayis. Omer of Shmuva Nachmeni, the word Eilecha, what does it mean, Eilecha? V'loi li. The Pasuk is saying, you need the candle, I don't. Loi lo oirani tzaruch. The halach is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need the light. And I saw that the Rashi and the Maral builds on Rashi, says that what the Gemara means to say is that even though human beings always need light, but when somebody came to the Beis HaMikdash, because the Shekhinah was in the Beis HaMikdash, there was no need for light. Says the Mishnah Shulchan, the Shulchan was in the Tzofen, in the north side of the Mishkan, and the Menorah was on the Dorim side of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav Zreika, Amar Rav Loza, to teach us, Loi L'chila Ani Tzarech, I don't need food, Loi L'Oira Ani Tzarech, because, as the Mepharshim explained, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed food and light, he would put the light next, he would put the Menorah next to the Shulchan, like we always have light next to where we eat. But that's only for people, not for Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk says in Melachim, where the Pasuk describes how Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, V'yas l'bayis chaloini shkufim atumim. Tanam shkufim b'fnim, v'atumim b'chutz. Shloi l'oira nitzarev. What does this mean? What it means is that normally when somebody lights a candle, when somebody has a room, and he's building windows, so if the windows are built straight, fine. But if you want to have a lot of light coming into your room, the windows are built narrow on the outside and wide on the inside, so there should be a lot of light entering your room. In the Beis HaMikdash, the windows were built just the opposite, because to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our light, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our big windows. The menorah was lit by the Proiches Haedis. Why are they called Proiches Haedis? In other words, the question is, what is the Haedis that's being discussed here? To teach us, Haedisul Chabayah Olam, the menorah serves as testimony, Sheshchina Shari B'Yisrael. The menorah, the lit menorah, proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Im Timer, Loira Nitzarech. And if you'll say, no, the menorah is there to provide illumination, says the Mishnah, like Kol Abam Shana Shahoy Chuyisra B'Midbar, all the 40 years the Klaiso were in the Midbar, Lahoch Aloyroi, they went to the light of Hashem. Ella, it's just here to prove, Eidusu L'chabay Ha'olam Sheshchin Shav Yisrael, says the Gemara, how is that testimony shown? How does the menorah prove that? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Zer Ner HaMeravi. We speak about the Ner HaMeravi. Pasha Pshad, the Ner HaMeravi, it's the middle candle to which all the candles tilt. Others say that it's the seventh candle. Shanais by Shem and Kamidas Chavarsa, it had as much oil in its cup as all the other cups. We met all your Madlik, but that was the first candle which was lit every evening. Obayim Messiahim, and that was the last candle that was cleaned every morning, because many times that candle was lit that candle remain lit all the time. And therefore, it's called the Eidus to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And I saw, what's the word Eidus that's used here? So I saw that the word Eidus represents testimony. The Maral explains what happens when witnesses say testimony. When witnesses say testimony, they make the rule, whatever we're discussing, happen. And that's why Eidus ul-Chabaya Olam, when somebody saw the menorah lit, and when somebody saw that candle lit all of the time, they recognized that there's a Shekhinah in Klal Yisrael. And by recognizing that there's a Shekhinah in Klal Yisrael, that's how the menorah accomplished what it's supposed to do. I saw another pshat that Amul Pnei Amara Shehir Shev Esenaris, to teach us that I don't need the candle because we have already the Shekhinah, and we had the light with us all the years that we were in the Midbar. So if that's the case, why did they need the menorah? So Rav Dushinsky Zatzal explains, when people see something all the time, they forget and they don't think about what they're seeing. Only when they see something extraordinary does that help them remember that everything that happens to us is extraordinary. So that's why that when we can't rely on the light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgot had in Klal Yisrael, because that light was something that they saw all the time. To give us something new to help us remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us, that's why they had the menorah. The Ner Meravi is the light that we will follow till Mashiach comes. Some say I saw that that's represented in the Kaisel HaMeravi. The Kaisel HaMeravi represents that there's a Ner, that the Shekhinah is with Klal Yisrael all the time. And that representation, that wherever we go, we have the Shekhinah with us all the time, is the way that we will able to greet Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu.